As a recently minted PhD, I approached the job market determined to find a tenure-track job. I was nervous about it because there were rumors about increased competition and fewer jobs, but like most PhD students, I was groomed to seek a tenure-track position at an institution. The type of institution was left up to me, but the goal was always to find a tenure line rather than work as contingent labor. In many ways, I am one of the lucky ones. 5 different institutions, 3 of which were at MLA in 2008, all of which were tenure track, interviewed me. I ended up getting 3 offers and was able to choose the one that fit my needs the best. Though I made a number of sacrifices in my personal life in order to accept the job, ultimately, I felt like I had grabbed the golden ring. According to the equation set by Bailiff, Davis, and Mountford, I was on the road to it, from PhD to tenure line with several publications under my belt. However, I interpreted making it very differently. I defended my dissertation in April 2008, and it was, reflecting on what one of my committee members called it, a love fest. That said, I had never been, nor have I been since, so nervous. But I got through it, left the room, and chatted with friends and colleagues, all the while warning my mom, who had flown out for the occasion, not to cry. The door opened a little while later, and one of my committee members extended her hand to me and said, "Welcome to the field, Dr. Cole." Then she hugged me. Then I cried, so there was really nothing I could do to stop my mom. I distinctly remember in the midst of the hugs, the handshakes, and the illicit 5-ounce bottle of champagne that my best friend had hidden in her purse, thinking to myself, "I've made it." I relate my own story for 2 reasons. 1, I recognize that it's a story of privilege. I got interviews, I got job offers, I was able to move across the country in order to accept a tenure-track job. And 2, it is a very individualistic story. The individual interpretation of making it is the point I want to argue. I do not believe that the prescriptive image of a successful woman in rhetoric and composition presented by Davis, Bailiff, and Mountford is realistic or, in fact, honest. The image of the successful woman in their configuration is representative of what my graduate school friends would have referred to as, quote, superstars, unquote, in the field. At the time I was defending, I considered the making part of the equation to have occurred in my PhD program. My, quote, creator, unquote, committee, various professors, peers, and students groomed me not only to be a researcher and a teacher, but also to be a scholar in the fullest sense of the word, a member of the professoriate. Upon graduation, I felt that it was the successful completion of my PhD, and that the job, future publications, possible keynote opportunities, and that mythical beast, a real life, were just gravy. In other words, the act of making carries with it not only institutional and temporal ramifications, it also implies a creator, someone who is making. It is necessary to call into question what happens to being made when the goal of tenure in the framework offered by Bailiff, Davis, and Mountford may no longer be possible. Even though I am on the path to making it, according to the Chronicle of Higher Education, that path has a limited shelf life, or at least should, in some authors' opinions.